when you take that first step, not before. So as Philip went, God told him to do the next thing, and then God came. Sometimes we want God to come first before we move. And God says, I've told you what to do. You do this now, and I will come. And unless we do that first thing, God won't come. He won't come. You can apply that not just in evangelism. Like, for example, when that man said to me 22 years ago, why don't you come with me to Nigeria? I could have said no. And I've seen that for 40 years. 40 years of being a Christian. That if I just do what I feel God is telling me to do, then he comes. I've written a few books. So this is one of the books I've written called True Relationships. Now I've written 12 little chapters in this book. And these are the chapters. Blessing others, forgiving others, loving others. Love, sex and marriage. The greatest friendship, that's mentoring. The impacting friendships of leaders. Relationships to avoid. Recovering from spiritual abuse. Divorce and remarriage. Trust, singleness, friendship with Christ. Do you know, like for example, if you have a look at the subject of divorce and remarriage, what does the Bible say? I thought I used to know. But most Christians, nearly all, don't know at all what the Bible teaches on divorce and remarriage. So if I ask this question, you'll know what I mean. For example, what are the four reasons that God gives where divorce is permissible under certain circumstances in the Old Testament? Could someone name me the four reasons in the Old Testament?
Adultery is one.
Obviously adultery. What are the other three in the Old Testament? No, that's not one of the four. So we're struggling. So what does the New Testament, what does Jesus, what does Paul, what does God say on this one subject? What does God say on singleness? You know, there are some single people here today. What is helpful for me as a single man, for me to know about singleness? I gave a copy of my book, True Relationships, to a 31-year-old woman in Nigeria this year. And I said to her, I want you to read this chapter on singleness. She said, thank you. So she read it. She came back to me a few days later. She said, thank you so much for giving me your book. I read the chapter on singleness and it's really helped me to understand what God says about my singleness and how I can cope well with being single. And I understand now that being single is not second best. It's amazing. So that's a really practical book, whether you're single, married, whatever your circumstances is. And the chapter on divorce and remarriage is worth reading, 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 because I bet you will be challenged, inspired to perhaps be different in the future with those people who are undergoing such a thing as divorce or separation, and how to reach out and perhaps be challenged to what you understand about aspects of life like that subject. Now, this book came out just last week, Refreshed and Renewed. And we're told in Acts 3:19 that when they turned to the Lord, there were times of refreshing, that phrase. But as they turned to the Lord, there were times of refreshing. So I've written this book here. This is a daily word for daily living. There are 53 chapters here, little chapters with a scripture. So you can read one of these chapters in just a week. You can read it once a week or a few times a week. All sorts of subjects. One of the things I'm doing in the 53 chapters is taking you through John's Gospel. Now, if you read there's a little chapter here, it's dynamite. If you read week 51, called Dust to Dust, you will not be cremated when you die. You will put it in your will, I wish to be buried. What does the Bible say about cremation and burial? That's an interesting thing, isn't it? So that will affect all of us, won't it? I was in a bookshop one day and came across this book called Dust to Dust, Ashes to Ashes. And I'm thinking, what's that? I don't want to read about cremation and burial. I'm 100% satisfied. I can't believe it. What does the Bible say about being buried or cremated? Where does this cremation thing come from that's come about in the last 60 years in Western civilization, that is? It's very old. It's thousands of years old, cremation. You know, what does the Bible say? Well, having read the book, which is that fat, and studied the Bible, and I've written one page, I'm thinking, wow, there is no way that cremation is a biblical or acceptable thing. There's a better way. So that's one chapter, one page. So if you read that and you want to read more and go into this more, you can get the book and read the whole subject. But there are things about all sorts of things here. You will read stuff for a whole year. In November the 2nd, my friend Anthony Delaney is my guest speaker at a men's conference that we're putting on in Emsworth, which is near Portsmouth, where my office and home is. And it's called Diamond Geezers Men's Day. So that's the 2nd of November. It took me 2 hours to get here this morning. One of the roads was, I think, completely empty. I'm thinking, has the second coming come and I've been left out or what? What is this road? Three cars on it. I couldn't believe it. Dead easy. So I really, really recommend that. Anthony Delaney used to be a policeman, but then gave that up, went to theological college, became a minister, was a Church of England minister for about 15 years. Then he left that denomination, has gone to another group, and he's a pastor of a big church where they meet in a cinema, a cafe and a traditional building in Manchester, and he's going to be speaking at the Diamond Geezers Men's Day. And there's some leaflets at the back. So if you're a woman here today, kick your man out. Make him come to that. Say to him, go to that. Anthony's written a few books, and he's written one book here called Diamond Geezers. They're in the back. They're for sale. If anybody wants to sponsor one of my children or young people, for £19 a month, you can do. That twin boy here, I need to find a sponsor for him. You can take the pack away and respond. If you want to sponsor one of my children, I've got some children's pack. If you want to sponsor one of our 15 workers at our Soteria school in Africa, take a pack with you and just respond to it and send the form back to us. Has anybody got any questions?
One question.
Yes, Robert.
After reading the New Testament whilst I was on holiday, I read a lot of it. It keeps on saying time and time again that God chooses you. He chooses you, you don't find him. And it's more overwhelmingly 75% that said instead of you can find him, but he chooses you. So in that case, there's a lot of people ain't going to be saved from birth, but you know the ones before. So a lot of people are born just because of how. From birth.
Yes.
So why do you need evangelists if he chooses you?
Well, it's right what you say, first of all, that he chooses us. Jesus says, and I'm trying to find it, in John's Gospel. Yeah, John chapter 15, verse 16. He's speaking to his 12 disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. And that fruit was to win souls. So the two fit together. So that's one of the fruit. So then he says to them later, as you know, now go into the world. So one doesn't contradict the other. So you're right. I used to think that I chose Christ. Most of us think that when we're first converted. Well, I made the decision. I chose. In July 73 at 10 o'clock at night, I decided to follow Jesus. That's what we think. That's what they thought. We've chosen to follow you, Rabbi. Rabbi, Master, Jesus. We chose to give up everything for you, follow you. Often we leave our wives for months on end. We're not at home anymore. To follow you round this blooming country, we decided. And then he gets hold of them that day, and it's recorded that Jesus said, "You did not choose me." Disciples, I chose you and appointed you to bear much fruit. Then he tells the disciples in Matthew 28, in Mark 16, he said, now go into all the world, now that I've chosen you, and preach the gospel, share the gospel with signs following. In Mark 16, pray for the sick, those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they that believe, these signs shall accompany. He told them to pray for the sick, to go out and do all that. So one doesn't contradict the other at all. Only God knows who will respond to him and not. Our job is not to figure that out. Are these chosen? Are these one of the ones that are in or out? You'll get a headache.
He knows everyone before they're born in their mother's womb.
Yeah.
So there's a lot he knows are born for disaster.
He knows.
So why born them?
The disciples didn't turn around and said, hey, Jesus, you know, we're a bit confused. He said, well, just go and tell people about me.
That's, and you do the rest.
Yeah, he will do it. God knows. Psalm 139 says that God knows all our days. He knows what's going to happen and everything. And that's a good question. Because some people, they get muddled with that, and then as a result, they don't go out. They don't do evangelism.
Yeah, you can get me there.
Yeah, yeah. Any other questions? Thank you for that. That's good. Any other questions? Yes, can you give it to that Greek man? Angliga.
You said that in your examples, you felt to go to someone and speak to him. How we can distinct if that feeling is from God or not? And also, you bring another example with the dogs. How you knew that it will take 3 months until you do the next question and not less or more?
Well, often, before someone will respond to us or listen to us even, you have to build a bridge. That's it. So I'm building bridges often. So I'm building a bridge with two men that I spoke about. Before I talk to them about Jesus, I'm building a bridge of friendship. In a very small way, in a very small amount of time, this is what Jesus did. But sometimes it takes us weeks, months, or years even to build a bridge. That is what he was doing with the woman. He was building a bridge. That's what I'm doing with the dog man.
Yes, Matthew. It took you more time in some situations, or less time.
Yes.
So how do you know that, how you have the information to move on in the next level,
I don't have the information.
It's emotional.
I'm going by how I feel God is leading me.
Yes, but how do you know that God leads you and not, it's a tricky step from the devil?
No, well, the devil wants me to approach him.
The devil wants you to fail.
No, the devil wants me to not be friendly. The devil wants me not to open my mouth. The devil wants me not to say hello. The devil doesn't want me to say good morning. The devil wants me to get on the train and not say anything. The devil doesn't want me to build a bridge. But these promptings are godly. These promptings are good. Secondly, the promptings are godly. So is it God? Is it me? Is it God? It's God. If I have that prompting to go and befriend someone, it's God. If God tells me to say good morning, hello, for some weeks or months to build a bridge, it's God. Because that is a God thing. That is a good thing, and it's a God thing.
Jehovah's Witnesses have the same thing, but they are not God.
That's correct.
Yeah, I think the point, I don't know for sure, but I'm sensing that Tassus is saying sometimes you don't want to push it too much, in order not to spoil that bridge that you're building already.
Yes, yes.
So how are you sensitive to that?
Yeah, I am. For example, one day I wanted to invite the man who cuts my hair to come to our church. And on that occasion, I was preaching. At that time, I wasn't preaching often. But on that Sunday, I was speaking. And he's been cutting my hair for like 7 years now. So the bridge is there already. And God said to me, don't invite him to come and hear you speak yet. The bridge is not strong enough. Take him out for lunch, then invite him to the guest service to hear about Jesus. I had that thought. Where did that thought come from? Don't invite him to church yet. Make the bridge stronger. take the man out for lunch. Invite him then, and he will say yes. I said, thank you, Lord. So I went to cut my hair, just to invite him for lunch. Hello, you can cut this hair. Thank you. Now, come for lunch. I went to his shop, I picked him up, drove him to the restaurant. We're walking through the streets of Chichester, and he said to me, every time I'm with you, I feel closer to the God you speak about. I said, oh, good. Now, I'm inviting you for church this Sunday. Will you come? He said, I'm coming. So it's what you said, what the lady said here. Sometimes you can be in a rush. You know, when there's an apple to be picked, there is a time to pick it. If you pick it too soon, it's no good. If you pick it too late, it will be bad. But there's a time to pick the apple. And sometimes if you don't pick the apple when it's the right time, the Jehovah's Witnesses will pick it instead. We need God to guide us, to show us, to prompt us, and then we need obedience to follow through. Go speak, go befriend, go build the bridge, wait. So that's what we need. So there's a time to pick the fruit.
Say something, please. Yesterday I was at the dentist, and the dear lady receptionist, she whispered in my ear, my husband is very ill, and they have given him 12 months to live. Now, there were other people in the room, and my heart filled up, not only for that dear husband, but for her, wondering how she was going to cope. But because I was in a waiting room where other people had come to see the dentist, all I could say was, I will pray for you. Now, do you think that was adequate?
I think to offer a total stranger, to get into a conversation with a total stranger is wonderful. And then to start a conversation, and then this lady begins to tell you about her trouble, and then you said to her, you're going to pray for her. I think that's wonderful. Let's be bold. Any other comments or questions?
A lot of the examples you've given about people that you don't know so well, I've got a little bit back from you. Have you got
experiences of, when you're praying for somebody perhaps within your family who you know intimately well, and you kind of get into a rut of how you relate about things?
I have brought people to Christ whom I've known well. They're not all strangers at all. It just happens that the people I've spoken about may seem to be strangers to begin with. But even some of these strangers, I built a bridge quite quickly with. I mean, for example, Terry, before I got in the car last year and he's taking me to the airport, I'd met him before two or three times. But we never spoke about Jesus. So that wasn't my first meeting with Terry sitting in the front of his car. And he's telling me about the loss of his wife. It was the third or fourth visit that I'd seen him. But now he just shared with me about his loss. So I think that I'm not saying to you that we're focusing on people that we don't know. I think we should remember those people that are known to us as well.
I think I was trying to get at the fact that, for example, I've had my sister's family living with me and her husband and son. A long way off, we found it very hard in the context of our home, to talk to them about Christian things.
Yes. I think the more we pray about that, I think something will happen as we pray, and then we can pray quite specifically that the Lord will open the way and that we will take that step and that he'll show us how. I was speaking at somewhere recently near Birmingham, and I said to the people, I said, right, who's going to bake a cake and take it across the road, knock on the door and say, hello, I'm just baking today, I thought I'd bake you a cake. Why don't you go across the road to your neighbour and just do a random act of kindness like that, you know. That would be a wonderful thing. So five people put their hand up and said, we're going to bake a cake. We're going to walk the cake across the road, knock on the door and say, hello, I haven't spoken to you for a while, have a nice cake. You see, one thing can lead to another, can't it? And it's about being intentional, perhaps with those people staying with you, your sister, and say, you know, I've been thinking for a while of asking you something, and then asking them, you know, what do you feel about? What do you think about? Or inviting them to something that you think might be appropriate. Any other questions? Yeah.
You had tell us a few examples that you start or you finish a conversation with God bless you. We recently hear that a nurse lost her job because she went to the house and she said to the lady that I will pray for you. She didn't know the lady. She knew the lady because she looked after her. But that's it. The next morning, she had a complaint and she lost the job. I'm sure that many people of us that we have works, we're working basically, and we try to say the same thing. But if the person that is in front of you is atheist or she doesn't want to believe, you cannot change that, I suppose, but of course you have to give the seed. But how do you realize or how do you understand that the guy is not the right person to speak to him or not to speak? As my brother said before, maybe devil, I suppose he said, he might want to fail. But is that a fail that you give the seed to the wrong person or you think that's the wrong person? Or I don't know, what can I say?
Sometimes I'm in a situation where I'm fishing, so I would try an opening and I will just see how far I can go or see if anything happens. So I will say something or do something and just throw it out and just trust God and just go with the flow of the Spirit. And sometimes when I do that, nothing seems to be happening or the door is shut and I just leave it.
How do you realize that the fruit that you said is ready to pick it up or not ready? I mean, you carry on the conversation. I mean, you said earlier that you went to the hospital and you spoke to that lady and God tell you to go that day and not the day after. I mean, many of us, I'm sure that we have the opportunity to the trainer, everybody, every time, to speak or not to speak to someone. I'm sure we choose not to speak this time, problems or everything. And it's too late.
Yeah.
Of course, we came back and say, oh, why I didn't do it? We feel guilty.
When I began doing these things, I was converted in 73. The next year in 74, I was baptized in the Spirit. It was after I was baptized in the Spirit or filled with the Spirit that I began to share the gospel and win people for Christ. Jesus said to the disciples, wait till the power comes from on high. So I waited and I prayed. And one night in this Christian camp, the Holy Spirit came upon me and I woke up the next day different. And I began to tell people about Jesus and they became Christians. So my experience was similar to what happened in the Acts of the Apostles in Acts chapter 2. So then I found myself in the situation and I went to my youth leader and I said to my youth leader, I can't do it. I have these feelings. I want to talk to people and I fail often. I want to talk to them about Jesus, befriend them. It's not working. Not to the degree I want it to. It was working, but not to the degree. So I went to my youth leader, Peter, and he spoke to me and gave me some words from the Bible. And God just changed it. He just changed it. So he started to give me his ability and his power so that I could speak to people. So I was finding the times of failure less. The times when I would go home and think, oh, I should have done something, could have said something, but I didn't. God forgive me. And this went on for weeks and months. So he gave me some counsel, gave me a scripture, and the Spirit came, and God has helped me to reduce the times when I've come home thinking I've failed again today because I've succeeded, because he's helped me to succeed. At the end of the day is faith. How do you know God is telling you? Well, the devil will certainly not tell you to go and tell someone about Jesus. I'm telling you now. He will not. He will not. So the promptings that we get are coming from him. And we just have to choose to believe. So, God, help me to do it. Look, I can't talk to the man on the train. Open his mouth. Open his mouth, Lord, and make him ask me what I'm holding in my hand. You see, God likes that kind of prayer. God likes that kind of attitude where we are determined with him to reach out. You know, some of the people that I brought to Christ, I haven't said anything to. I've just invited them to a dinner. I didn't preach to them. I just invited them to a dinner meeting. So at our church, we would hire restaurants and hotels and have a dinner meeting, and we would invite guests, and our guests would come for free. So we were spending thousands of pounds every year to win souls. And the first time we did that as a church, it was amazing. So we continued to do those kind of things because it was working for us. Any other questions? Yes.
To what extent do you put into consideration sensitivity to maybe the culture, or maybe just what you see, or if looking at the, also tying it with what the lady said over the familiarity with the person or with the people, how much of it are you mindful in that area?
You have to be sensitive to people, you have to be sensitive to God, but you also must not be afraid. Sometimes I have found myself in other cultures, like in Greece or Poland or Nigeria or wherever, and God has asked me to do something which is opposite to the culture, but to do it with grace, with sensitivity, but to do it. So you need to bear in mind what you feel God is telling you about that person. You might have a sense about a person without knowing exactly anything about them. You may feel, actually, this person has got this kind of problem, so I need to approach this person carefully, but I will approach them. Look at Jesus to get your answer. How did Jesus approach the woman? First of all, he approached her. You weren't supposed to. He was not supposed to speak to a woman. Was he sensitive to the culture? He could not care less about the culture, could he? The culture was thick up to here. You do not speak to women in public. That culture still exists today in some parts of the world. Number two, you do not speak to that tribe either. It's not just as a woman. Don't speak to that group. So to get your answer, look at Jesus through the pages of the Gospels to get your answer. He was bold as a lion, yet sensitive at the same time. He was a lion and a lamb. They wanted to kill the woman in John 8. They dragged her in front of him. We caught her in adultery. Stone her. So he stepped in the middle, sensitive, and saved her life.
What was he writing in the ground?
We're not sure. My theory is hypocrites.
Stealing.
You hypocrites. That's my theory. Any other comments? Questions? Yeah, Philip?
A question I used to ask myself a lot with my earlier days in the evangelism. I don't know if it's my enthusiasm or a prompting of the Spirit to approach this person, ask them this or that.
Well, enthusiasm is a Greek word. It means God in you.
That's
right. So if it is enthusiasm, if it is enthusiasm, yeah, that's it.
Right. Okay.
Any other questions?
I'm asking how far is it dependent on the personality type? Because some people find it easier. I don't know what your personality type is, but some people find it easier than others to actually do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, we're all called to be witnesses, but it's harder for some than it is for others, isn't it?
I think we must. We're trying to build bridges, and that no matter what your personality type is, we can all build bridges. We can all be hospitable. We can all be kind. We can all have a smile. We can all say good morning. We don't have to be so consumed with our own problems that we can't just say to someone, oh, hello, or ask for a favour, or we can all be friendly instead of locking ourselves in our little castles. An Englishman's home is his castle. So we close the door, lock the door. we stay inside. I think we've become unfriendly. 20 years ago when I moved on the estate, people crossed the road and welcomed me to the neighbourhood. That does not happen today like it used to in Britain. No one today will do that as we used to, where the doors were open, even the front doors were open. People would greet you, welcome to the area. That doesn't happen. We can all be friendly. I've got my book here, True. Now this is a gospel book. You can buy 3 for £10. And this is for you to give to someone who doesn't know Jesus. So buy 3 or 6 or 9 today. And over the next few weeks, give it to someone. You can wrap it up or not. You may give it to someone who's a stranger or to a relative or to a neighbour. But give it to someone. You can wrap it up with a card or just give it as it is. It's like, oh, I know the author of this book. I just thought this might help you. I'm on a train one day going to London for a meeting and a woman is pushing the trolley, teas and coffees. So the Lord said to me, give her your book. So I took out of my bag my book and I said to the lady, excuse me, I'd like to give you a copy of my book. Look, I'm on the back. She took it. She looked at it and she said, thank you. What have I done to deserve that? I said, nothing. I hope you find it interesting. Bye-bye. That's it. I just sowed a seed. I think one day when I get to heaven, there's going to be a whole group of people. The Lord is going to say to me, this group of people over here, Andy, are the people that you just did not know anything happened to. You just gave out a book or said a word. You didn't know until now. All this group of people here are people that came to know me, and you were one of the wheels in the machine that helped them come to know me. Like this lady here, when you gave her your book on the train. She's there, Andy. So, you know, only eternity will tell. So today, I put them all out there. There's a money box there. Today's an opportunity to take 3 or 6 of these and in the next few months, just to give it to someone that you feel led to. It could be a work colleague. Could be a job that you're going to do next. Just give it to someone. Could be Christmas time or a birthday. And just do that with a prayer. And then be willing, like Artur, he's got my book, and he said to me, when I read your book, I'll ask you some questions. And I said, well, go for a coffee. So today, before you go, help yourself. They're going to be there. The blue books. The gospel book. Let's pray. It's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would enroll us in your school. That you would school us and teach us and show us how to share you with people. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit to be effective. That you would refresh us and fill us with your life, Zoe. With your Holy Spirit, Doayon Benevma, fill us with your Holy Spirit and send us out into the world, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, to be full of love, full of yourself. School us in your school that we may be winners of souls for you. We pray for one another. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.